Imagine arriving at university with a dagger hidden beneath your clothes and murder on your mind. This is Maven's reality at Everbound University, a prestigious institution for supernatural beings where she stands out as an anomaly, a human with magical abilities. From day one, her cold demeanor and impenetrable emotional walls serve a purpose far beyond typical new student anxiety. When she kills a vampire on her first night with practiced efficiency, we glimpse her true nature, someone intimately familiar with death. Despite her determination to remain isolated, Maven finds herself paired with Kenzie, a chatty lion shifter whose resemblance to someone named Lillian creates the first crack in Maven's armor. Even more disruptive to her plans, she's selected as a keeper during the seeking ceremony, matched with four high-profile supernatural men: Crypt DeLune, who walks through dreams, Professor Everett Frost with his ice elemental powers, Balefire Decimus, the last dragon shifter, and Silas Crane, a paranoid blood fae. These connections threaten everything about the mission that brought her to Everbound, a mission sealed by a blood oath so powerful that breaking it would erase her from existence itself. But what could drive someone to accept such terrible terms? And why does Maven seem so comfortable with violence that would traumatize most people? Maven's behavior reveals trauma layers deep enough to suggest lifetimes of suffering. She flinches violently at unexpected touch, positions herself with her back to walls, and scans rooms for exits, survival instincts honed through what must be unimaginable abuse. Her nightmares, which wake entire dormitory wings with her screams, feature stone rooms, chains dragging across floors, and blood-stained hands reaching through bars. The combat skills she demonstrates go far beyond self-defense, showcasing lethal techniques designed to permanently disable or kill. When she methodically breaks another student's bones during a training exercise, her efficiency suggests formal training twisted by necessity and trauma. Most telling are her mysterious episodes, severe muscle spasms accompanied by bleeding from her nose and ears, requiring a thick black potion that sends her into a death-like state filled with disturbing visions. These aren't mere dreams, but seem like memories. Skeletal remains swaying from twisted trees, shadow creatures crawling over corpses, and recurring visions of someone named Lillian being tortured while Maven watches helplessly. Despite her calculated cruelty and attempts to push them away, each of her supernatural matches affects her differently. Balefire's protective presence makes her hands shake less during episodes. Silas's quiet understanding draws out rare vulnerability. Crypt's dreamwalking provides her first peaceful sleep in years, and Everett's cold distance paradoxically makes her feel more alone than actual solitude, suggesting bonds forming despite her desperate resistance. Make them hate me. Maven's methodical list details strategies to drive away each of her supernatural matches. Yet despite her psychological manipulation, these four men demonstrate unwavering devotion that defies explanation. Balefire's ancient dragon spirit recognizes her as his destined mate, causing him to bristle whenever others approach her. Silas, perpetually plagued by paranoid whispers, finds unprecedented quiet in Maven's presence. Crypt, who usually maintains emotional distance, becomes fixated on tasting her uniquely dark dreams. Even after discovering her manipulation strategies, they remain fascinated rather than repelled. Her calculated approach to relationships mirrors their own complexities, creating unexpected bridges between them. The turning point comes when Maven finally surrenders to their connection, initiating a kiss with Silas that shatters her carefully constructed walls. What follows is both beautiful and devastating, a moment of genuine connection that triggers violent flashbacks, rotting flesh against her skin, searing pain, years of psychological conditioning. These intrusive memories send her rushing away, physically ill from their intensity. When pressured to reveal her blood oath's purpose, Maven fabricates a connection to anti-legacy movements, expecting this to drive them away. Instead, they offer unconditional support. Silas denounces the Legacy Council's corruption, Balefire offers his destructive powers, and Crypt suggests transforming themselves into weapons for her cause. This acceptance proves more devastating to Maven's resolve than any threat. For the first time, she contemplates sharing her burden. As mysterious headless bodies appear on campus and anti-legacy sentiment grows, Maven continues her secret mission, tracking down and brutally killing a wolf shifter named Orson Lycoutis, extracting his still-beating heart to trade with a demon for rare magical ingredients. This gruesome transaction reveals the dark nature of whatever drives her. The climax arrives when Maven attempts to assassinate Headmaster Hurst, only to find him already dead. A changeling, a creature that can perfectly mimic others, ambushes her, taking her form before stabbing her with her own nightshade-infused dagger. As consciousness fades, Maven watches her perfect double walk away, revealing a sophisticated plot to not just kill her, but replace her entirely. When Crypt finds her moments later, something extraordinary happens. Her fatal wound begins knitting itself together, muscle and sinew reconnecting without a trace. Despite losing enough blood to kill three people, Maven's body repairs itself with impossible perfection. Through blood-flecked lips comes the shocking truth. My deaths don't stick. This casual observation suggests she's experienced dying before, not just once or twice, but potentially hundreds of times across an unknown span of years. Her immortality explains her seemingly reckless behavior in combat and dismissive attitude toward injuries that would terrify most people. The psychological weight of multiple deaths has left visible scars. She demonstrates a peculiar detachment when discussing violence, treating fatal wounds like minor inconveniences. Each death seems to have left its mark, contributing to the emotional armor she's built around herself. With her immortality exposed and her carefully guarded mission seemingly defeated, Maven faces an unprecedented crossroads. The Blood Oath remains unfulfilled, its requirements no less demanding than before. Yet for the first time in what might be centuries, she confronts the possibility that her burden need not be carried alone. Anti-legacy movements gain momentum across campus, threatening not just Maven's secrets, but the entire supernatural community. A changeling wearing her face wreaks havoc, undermining what little trust she's built. Her own immortality, once a closely guarded secret, now risks exposure to those who would exploit it. Each of her potential allies brings unique strengths. Kenzie's diplomatic connections, Crypt's mastery over the subconscious, Balefire's raw power, and Silas's ancient knowledge. The true test lies not just in whether she can trust them with her secrets, but whether she can trust herself to be worthy of their loyalty. What makes this story so compelling isn't just the supernatural elements or romantic tensions, it's the universal question at its core. Can someone who has been broken by life learn to trust again? Can centuries of self-imposed isolation be overcome by the simple human need for connection? As the first book closes, we're left wondering not just about Maven's mysterious past or the nature of her blood oath, but about the transformative power of belonging. Perhaps the most dangerous magic isn't found in daggers or potions, but in allowing others to see our true selves, immortal, flawed, and desperately hoping that this time, the people we care about might actually stay.